Hi, my name is Luna, and I wanted to read something, and the something is a book called Love Me, Don't Leave Me. Overcoming fear of abandonment and building lasting loving relationships by Michelle Skeen. And let me find the page where I stopped. Hopefully, I'll be able to find it. Okay. It's a book about abandonment issues, and I have always really loved, and I have always been very curious about psychology and how the human mind and brain works. I find it very interesting and I think it helps, if we all were kind of interested in psychology and we all did our little research or read books and stuff like that about psychology. I feel like we will all understand each other a little bit better, like if we all knew about everybody's attachment styles, this and that, like I think it would really help, so that's why I like it so much. I love learning about people basically and how they may work and why they engage in certain things, why they're behaving a certain way. Even though obviously psychology doesn't really tell you everything about the person, or everybody's is a individual, so it may not apply to every single person, whatever, you know what I mean. But I'm gonna read a part of the book. I'm on like on page 46, and it's called Cognitive Distortions. Keep in mind that English is not my first language, just saying. I speak three languages daily, so my accent is very mixed, so if I'll make some mistakes when reading, I'm so sorry. This is not a professional audiobook, by the way. I just felt like recording something. I don't know. I just wanted to try it out. So there's a thing called confirmatory bias. It's the tendency to only recognize what supports your core beliefs and your story about yourself. When your core beliefs get triggered, your mind takes a shortcut and concludes that it will go to the way that it's always gone. The mind is flooded with painful memories, and there isn't any room for positive information that would disconfirm your core beliefs. We are wired to more readily remember and look for a negative experience that provides evidence for a story, which includes our beliefs about ourselves and others. Another reaction to a triggering interaction is called old tapes. Old tapes refers to your reaction to another person as if he or she is your parent. This is also referred as a parataxic distortion, coined by Dr. Harry Stack Sullivan. The more intense the emotion that gets activated, the more likely it is that you are responding to your parent or the offending person from your past, not the person you're with at the moment. That's super interesting to me because it's very true. I've noticed. Also, I'll be making some notes while I read, so I'll be highlighting some stuff because I genuinely want to study this. Signs that you're reacting to memories. Here are five signs that you're reacting to memories of the painful experiences that created your core beliefs and your story. One, you feel an instant rush of intense negative emotion in reaction to an interaction. You feel the need to protect yourself. I am gonna do a little, like, I'm gonna add little comments while I read, and maybe in the comments you guys can also kind of, share your experiences, write what you think about all these things, and, even yesterday, for example, something very similar happened to me. That correlates with the number one sign that you're reacting to memories. I was in a call with somebody and I just joined the call, and this person which is a sweetheart, by the way. This person is a sweetheart, never gave me any type of proof, any sign that they are gonna leave me, that they are gonna suddenly wanna stop talking to me. No sign whatsoever. This person shows up, has been showing up every day, you know, even going to as far as like apologizing when they are just a little bit late, even though we didn't even have a specific time set. Like, very sweet, a sweetheart, very just a sweet person to me. But when I joined the call, this person's microphone wasn't working, and there's something that triggered a past memory and some past experiences from the past where I was and I felt very rejected by multiple people. Not in like a light sense of like I confess to somebody about a crush and they reject me, like I could give a shit about that. Like, that doesn't really bother me at all. Like, it happens. Well, like, who cares? But thank you. Next. Sorry. But rejection meaning like I felt rejected for multiple years by somebody very close, or something bigger than just a simple, that was my chair, a simple like reaction, you know, when it comes to crush, whatever. It's like something that impacted me heavily. And and when this person's microphone was not working for like literally 5 seconds, just 5-10 seconds, I felt this rush of so much embarrassment, shame, and anger. All of those together. Like, it was so clear. Anger. And I didn't understand why in the moment. But I felt it. Like, I felt my whole body go so hot and so warm. And I understood that I have been in a... when I was younger, I was in a group of friends where they kind of always used to leave me out of the group for years. Like, they usually left me out of it. They did things behind my back and they didn't invite me. They told me that, oh yeah, we still want to talk to you. Oh yeah, whatever. But then they did the complete opposite. But then they talked shit behind my back, but then they went and played games together but not invite me. They went to parties together and they didn't invite me. So I always felt very much left out, and that created a thing in my brain or within me where they were saying something but there was no proof of it. You know, they were saying we care, we like you, but they were doing the complete opposite. And they kept leaving me out, and I felt very rejected, you know, because of that. And that's exactly how I felt when this person, I don't know why it triggered that, but me and this person are in a group of, like, friends. And this one other friend, hasn't really been responding to me at all, like, not really talking, whatever. And obviously I have abandonment issues, which I'm really working on really hard. I don't know why I said hard really twice. But you know, my abandonment issues are kind of popping off. My triggers are popping off because of that. So I made this whole scene in my mind that because this person's microphone was not working for 10 seconds, I thought that they were making an excuse for them to not talk to me that day, for them to just act as if their microphone was not working so they could have an easy way out of not talking to me and out of the situation, so they could go and, you know, talk or be with the other friend that's not talking to me right now, because all of them are trying to like distance themselves from me and not want to talk to me anymore. Now, if you look at it from like a logical perspective, or like from just like taking it as it actually is, there's no literal sign of that happening. I just made it up all in my head. There's no sign of the sweetheart person of a person that's what they were doing. Their microphone was simply not working for 10 seconds, and it was 100% the truth, because after those 10 seconds the microphone was okay. And we were in the call for like 2 hours, you know? So then I kind of have to like wake up, literally. It feels like I need to, like, you need to snap back out of you creating these false scenarios of like, they're gonna leave me, they hate me, they're not excited to talk to me anymore, they're trying to slowly get away, distance themselves because they don't want to hurt me, so they don't want to say it, you know. And then you kind of have to snap back out of it and tell yourself that who in the right mind would spend hours talking to you or, you know, doing whatever if they genuinely didn't want to be there? Now, if I would go back into my overthinking, you know, and stuff, it actually has happened to me once where a person was a very good, at least I thought, friend of mine for 3, 4 months, and this person actually towards the end told me that they never actually wanted to be there. They just wanted to make me happy because they saw that I was happy being friends with them and talking to them. So they were doing it for me, but they actually never really wanted to be there. You know, and so that also gave me, you know, I could, you know, it's just people are shit, basically what I'm trying to say. People are shit, and for somebody who has abandonment issues and you know, that come from my childhood. It's not something that, you know, I say lightly. Because a lot of people are like, oh my God, I have abandonment issues. And it's like, no, you don't. Not to minimize people's experiences or anything like that. But I feel like a lot of these terms are thrown around lightly. And I feel like it's an actual struggle. And some people don't struggle. They just say, oh, I have abandonment issues. But I know there's a lot of people who genuinely have it. And it's a fucking struggle. And it's awful to experience, because it's like this constant loop and cycle of not feeling enough in a friendship, in a relationship. And it doesn't necessarily come from like my confidence for me personally. It's just about, I always felt like I wasn't in good enough for people to stay, you know, and it sounds so cliche and so like embarrassing. But that's what it is, you know? And I know that I'm a good person in a way. As far as what a good person is, I guess. Like, I try to be there for people, you know? I try to care. I'd say I'm caring, and, you know, like, I try to check up on all of my friends all the time. I try to, you know, be fun, like, you know? I try my best basically, and I feel like as long as you try your best, you're always enough. And even that, I worded that so wrong. Even if you're not doing your best, even if you feel like shit, you're still obviously good enough. But for me personally, I know how I am, and I feel like I always have to do like 100% for everybody. 'Cause otherwise I don't feel like I've done enough for people. So if I personally give 100% to people, then I know that, you know, I've done, like, I'm good enough. Like, I've done enough. There's nothing more I could have done, you know? But yeah, it's hard to deal with the abandonment issues when people keep constantly leaving, even while you're trying to heal those abandonment issues. And I don't think it's something that can be actually healed. I feel like it's something that you need to learn how to live with and work with. and how to control the triggers and everything. And I think it even says that in the book. I don't think it's something that you can, like, just completely heal and, like, it's gonna disappear or anything like that. So it's hard to heal, I guess, in a way, or, like, work on things like that when people keep leaving and give you new reasons for you to doubt people and new reasons and new ways people may leave you next. Does that make sense? Like, I would have never thought that somebody would be friends with me just to make me happy, but they actually didn't want to be my friend or be there. You know, when that person told me that, I was mind blown. I was like, what? I wouldn't, that's like so disgusting to me. Like, it's genuinely, it made me sick when this person told me that. It's so disgusting because I would never, that's the thing that I'm always so terrified of, that people are there just to be there, you know? Or like, or people are gonna stay in my life because they feel pressured, because they feel like they have to. That's like so fucking disgusting to me. You don't understand. I would never want to pressure anybody to stay in my life. I would rather go through working through my abandonment issues over and over and over again rather than somebody feeling like they need to stay. No, I want people to be in my life because they genuinely want to. I want to find those people in this world that genuinely want to be there and genuinely love my company. I don't want people to feel pressured or like they need to be or need to stay, just like this person said to me once. So now when I meet new people and I try to, make new friendships, whatever, find a partner, whatever, I also have that in mind, that what if they are here just because they feel pity, or just because they see that I'm enjoying, their company, and I'm excited to talk to them, but they actually don't feel the same way. You know, I have that in mind now because of that person that told me that, like, 3 months ago or something, you know? It's awful, but people are shit, basically, what I'm trying to say. Anyway, the second sign, it's an old and familiar feeling. The emphasis is how familiar it feels. 3, it's a recurring feeling. Shame, anger, sadness, yep, disappointment. 4, you feel like you're mind reading. Yes. You're making assumptions about the person and/or predictions about the situation and outcome. Also, if you can hear the rain, I hope you can hear the rain. It's raining right now. My favorite weather. Sorry. 5, you experience fear of abuse or rejection when there's no basis for fear. Yes. Me. Mood. When your story and the corresponding core beliefs get activated, they can disrupt or sabotage your attempts at creating healthy relationships. Later in the book, you will learn new skills and tools that will help you create new relationships with your automatic thoughts, the accompanying negative emotions, and the behavioral urges getting in the way of building healthy and lasting loving relationships. Now let's look more closely at how our core beliefs create and perpetuate relationship traps. Let me highlight some things, ladies and gents, because that was interesting to me. Relationship traps, oof. Your core beliefs introduce additional challenges to relationships. Most likely, this includes another contributing factor to relationship complications. The fact that your story probably includes unhealthy relationship patterns from your childhood and adolescence. You may not have had role models for healthy and successful relationships, or you may not have received helpful feedback about your relational style. What you know and what you consider normal may be getting in the way of your efforts to develop meaningful relationships. The themes in your story are probably sabotaging your relationship, or at least making them more difficult. As you learned in the previous section, fear-based responses are natural and they are in reaction to interactions and situations that trigger past painful experiences that are stored in your memory with accompanying emotions, thoughts, and sensations. Additionally, you may find yourself continually attracted to familiar types of people. Did you hear that car? It makes sense that as adults, we will be drawn to similar relationship dynamics that we experienced in childhood and adolescence, even if we reach, yeah, I don't know how to read that one. Racially? I don't know. No, it's unhealthy or damaging. I'm sorry. Our stories have an unconscious, powerful, emotional pull. And even if you're successful in avoiding relationships with these types of people, you will not be able to avoid interacting with them in some area of your life because they're everywhere. Let's look at the types of people who will likely trigger your core beliefs and accompany negative emotions. Types of people who trigger your core beliefs. Oh no. Okay. I'm actually gonna end it here. I'm sorry. I'll read more if you guys like it. I'll get into the types of people who trigger your core beliefs. Let me know if you want to hear me read that. And yeah, sorry, this is kind of like all over the place. I talked about my personal experiences for like 15 minutes. You're welcome. But let me know if you want me to read more. And thank you for listening, I guess. I don't know where I'm gonna post this yet, but I'm gonna post it somewhere. Maybe. But yeah, have a lovely day. And yeah, bye-bye.